But we're going to open up today, read a couple scriptures in Romans, the 8th chapter. I want to talk to you today about being a son of God. Got some questions for you and give you some answers at the same time also. What does it mean to be a son of God? To be born of God, Tim says. Carrie's shaking her head, yes. He's my father. Jennifer said, he's my father, but that brings me to a question. You're a lady. Your gender is female here. Can you be a son of God? She said, absolutely, and I 100% agree with her in that. How do you become a son of God? Tim said, you are a son of God because you're born again, right? How many of you believe in this room here today that you are yourself a son of God? So I got male and female saying yes. Didn't Paul mention in one of his epistles that in Christ Jesus, there's neither male nor female? So there's your answer right there. But we're going to talk specifically, there's many things we're going to talk about, but I'm going to look at today about the spirit of bondage. How many of you remember talking to you about, I want to speak more about discernment and specifically discerning a spirit? Well, this is going to be a prelude or a part of it. It will be. But one of the 9 gifts of the spirit that Paul references is discerning of spirits. And let me emphasize, it is a gift from God and it has to come by the Holy Ghost. Sometimes individuals mix the discerning of the Spirit's gift with the spirit of man and what the spirit of man says and the spirit of man does. Because who knows the things of a man save the spirit of man that's in him? But it's only the spirit of God that knows the things of God that God has freely given to us, correct? Paul said all of that in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter. Now let me take a look here in Romans, the 8th chapter, where I'd like to start. Let's say, how about let's read verse 14 and 15. This is where it references the spirit of bondage. How many of you believe you got a pretty good handle or an understanding on what the spirit of bondage is and can discern the spirit of bondage right now? How many of you know it helps at times to be taught first and then to exercise it? Because I am going to emphasize, I would love to see you start to exercise your discernment here today. That's the only way that you're ever going to learn. If you're afraid to be wrong, you're not going to learn. And one of the things that keeps you back from exercising, I think Paul said, but strong meat belongeth unto them who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern both good and evil. So strong meat, you are more mature. How do you get to be more mature? You're not a babe in Christ that's just drinking milk. You have grown. You're at least a young man now, if I could say it that way. But there is a big difference between the discernment that comes from the spirit of man and the discernment that comes from God. You need to be able to exercise these things to begin to learn how to grow up into God and fulfill what he calls us as sons of God. That's a pretty interesting topic, isn't it? The sons of God. In Romans, the 8th chapter and the 14th verse, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. This is a very familiar portion of scripture, isn't it? For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Now, there's going to be an answer to what causes you to be a son of God. And I like Tim's answer. You got to be born again. That is so true. Of water and spirit, right, Tim? According to Jesus in John, the 3rd chapter. But what about continually walking in it and staying a son of God? Now, I say that. Can you be a son of God and then not be a son of God? That's a trick question, but I'm going to answer it for you. Nobody really bit off on that one. They just kind of got smiles on their face. He said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What if you begin to be led by another spirit? Ah, you're going to find out here today, when we talk about the spirit of bondage, how many of you ever battle in your mind, have a war in your mind? You got thoughts you deal with. You know, one of the greatest things that causes that is fear. And it's the spirit of bondage that causes you to go back. What church was it? The Galatian church? He said, having begun in the spirit, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Having begun in the spirit, now are you going to perfect yourself in the flesh? So you can go backwards? How do you do that? If you're a son of God, how do you go backwards? How do you all of a sudden decide I'm not a son of God? Merle?
Disobedience
is huge. You are right. That's what happened to the Son of God in the beginning. Now, he's not the first Son of God, but he's the first Son of God in the genealogy, as Luke in the third chapter ran the genealogy all the way back to Adam. And it was disobedience. But listen, something else happened too. Did he listen to another spirit? He did, didn't he? Boy, we can identify some things about that other spirit here today. And we're going to put some things together for you about discerning of spirits and the spirit of bondage and the spirit of man and these things. And hopefully you can begin to perceive these things, believe them, and start to exercise them. And you'll see where your war comes from, where your battle. And every son of God, even in Israel of the Old Testament, they fought battles, didn't they? They warred. But what did James say? Where's the battle come from? Well, Paul said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every thought and imagination that might exalt itself above the knowledge of God. But how did James say it? From whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence? What did he say? Of the lust that war in your members? Lust. Well, where's this lust at? John described it as what's all in the world. He said, love not the world nor the things that are in the world. For all that's in the world, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Right? So the war, is that because the flesh is present? Now let's take this, there's different segments we're going to talk about here. Let's do the flesh here for just a minute. One person might look at the flesh as this body that we're in here today, this physical body. That's what the Bible's talking about, the flesh. But I'm here to tell you today that the flesh is actually a mindset. It's a way of thinking. So if you begin to think with your flesh or the mindset of flesh, you're not led of the Spirit anymore. Well, I'm telling you right now, this is where your battle is. This is where you war. This is how you go into bondage. And you'll see here, corruption. Corruption. What is corrupt? The flesh is corrupt, isn't it? Walker, isn't there a scripture that Paul talked about? And I want you to grab it and read it for me. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would do, desire to do, that you want to do. Anybody ever been in that mindset? I know I have. I want to do what's right. Paul covered that in the previous chapter. But I just can't find how to do it. I'm trying. I want to please God, but there's things that are hindering me, and here's the problem. I don't know what it is. What's holding me back? What's causing me to walk in the liberty of the Spirit? What's causing these battles and these wars in my mind, in my heart? At times, why is this so hard? Well, here's the hope and here's the good news. It doesn't have to be so hard. We're going to get to that here today, okay? There is an absolute change and a total difference when you begin to do what I read here already. Be led of the Spirit. Bring us that scripture, Walker. That's going to show us exactly what I said is true.
This is Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would.
So you cannot do the things you would. Anybody ever been there? In your walk with God, in your life with God, as Pastor Daniel says, your journey. You ever find yourself trying to do right? And let me say it this way. Aren't you really trying to do the will of God? The will of God. God has a will for each and every one of us here. How about if I told you, not only does God have a will for you, Jennifer, or for you, Walker, but he also has a will for all of us combined. Well, how can you say it that way? Are we not sons of God? We are. So not only for you individually, Carrie, but for us as a church? He sure does. He sure does. Do you want to know what it is? Do you want to know what it is every second of the day? Do you want to know what it is continually? See, we read earlier, as many as are led of the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So that's awesome. I want to be led by the Spirit. But what did you just read, Walker?
This I say then, walk in the Spirit.
Right there, that's enough. I read, you're led of the Spirit. This is another level, is it? You're walking in the Spirit. It's one thing for me to come out there and take you by the hand and lead you around. But what about if I put you in the Spirit and you're walking in the Spirit? Oh, man. Pretty interesting, isn't it? Let's go back to our opening portion of Scripture here. And we're going to read the next verse, verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. God, as Jennifer said, and she even prays all the time, God is our Father. We are sons of God. Now, you have not received the spirit of bondage. You know, in another translation, instead of saying bondage, it uses the word slavery. For ye have not received the spirit of slavery or bondage. Have you ever been in a bondage? How many of you look at bondage as captivity? Oh, man. Walker, grab me Exodus 4th chapter, 22, 23. What I'm going to show you when I talk to you about a corporate will of God, if you want to say it that way, a will of God for all of us combined, this is proof of it even in the Old Testament. How many of you believe that Israel, according to Scripture, is God's chosen people? I said according to the Scripture, didn't I? Do you know that God looks at Israel as his son? He even calls, Walker's getting ready to read here. Is that the right place? Israel, my firstborn. And he calls for his firstborn to come out of captivity. This captivity specifically is in Egypt. There is a dictator, if you want to say it that way, their president, their leader, named Pharaoh. And God calls Moses out and he tells him, Walker's going to read it, go get my son. Go get my son out of Egypt. Go get my son out of bondage. Go get my son out of captivity. The cry here today in this church, Living Fellowship, from God to you sons of God here today is, let my son go. Are you hearing me here today? I'm telling you the will of God. I'm telling you that God desires for each and every one of us, Jim, to come to a place where we're led of the Spirit. And as you go through those wars, they get smaller and smaller until they dissipate. And you're not warring anymore, you're discerning. You're not battling these thoughts, Dathan. You're not having spirits dictate you and keep you in a captivity and a bondage continually. You're discerning them. And with the discernment comes power. See, to as many as received him, to them gave he power, Daryl, to become sons of God. Wait a minute. Become. There's a becoming in this? Huh. So we've talked about different parts of being that son. Let's talk about the first part real quick. How do I become a son of God? What's the first thing that must happen? Go ahead, Daryl.
You hear.
You hear. That's good. Somebody else said believe. I heard it. You got to believe. But could you hear it wrong? Could you believe a lie? Let me put it to you simple, and it's in this chapter. You must receive the Spirit of Christ. Now, here's the big question. How many of you believe here today that you have the Spirit of Christ in you? Man, oh man, both hands up. I'll read you the scripture, but let me just go a little bit farther with what I'm reading here today. I'm going to read this chapter again because there's more to talk about. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So back to the thought of the spirit of bondage. What is the spirit of bondage? Well, it says it right there, Pastor. It's a spirit of bondage. And you liken it unto anything else? No, it's the spirit of bondage. And you know what? In another translation, it says it like this, that the spirit of slavery brings you back into the fear. So when you're dealing with fear, is the spirit of bondage doing that to you? Let me make it so simple and so plain, and we'll talk more about this, whatever we need to do. The spirit of bondage, Walker, is the spirit of man. What keeps the flesh alive? Well, say I eat food and I drink water and I breathe oxygen. That's this flesh. But what keeps if I can say it this way to you, I hope you can receive it, a spiritual flesh. The one I said is a mindset. What keeps it alive? The spirit of man. It's the spirit of man. And the spirit of man and the spirit of God, Walker read it, they are contrary the one to another. What drives you and what is the motivating factor in the spirit of man, this spirit of bondage, is lust. I want, I want, I want. We've all been there, right? But how many of you are seeing it, catching it? Because here's what I want you to start to exercise and practice, okay? When I say practice, exercise, do, and you'll be doing this with God under, let me say, a commandment I gave you here today. How about a covenant I'll make with you? That sound softer? Sound lighter? We'll make an agreement. We're going to start this. We're going to do this together. How does that sound? Pay close attention to your thoughts, because your thoughts are spirit. Where are these thoughts coming from? Oh, they're the flesh. They're terrible. I'm battling. Awesome. Then trust your discernment and walk with that. Thank God for it. You're getting it. That's the flesh talking right now. But wait a minute, Pastor Brian, I had the Lord talk to me. Oh, that's even better. So you're discerning between the two. But also, listen, we almost preached on pride here today, and we will get to it. But it's the pride that says, I don't want to be wrong. I'm afraid to be wrong. I don't want anybody to see me miss it, or as a tribute to Rick, mess it. Inside joke that anybody that knows Rick very well at all knows exactly what I'm talking about. Don't have so much pride that you won't allow God to work in your life because you're afraid of being wrong. Somebody will see me, Walker. Guess what? God sees you every second of every day from now throughout eternity. Who cares what other people think about you? Get over it. Get over yourself. Get over the thought that I don't want to be wrong. I don't want anybody to see it. Put yourself out there. Let's start to exercise. And you know what's going to happen for you? It's almost like a bodily exercise. Like we go to the gym here and we work out here today. You'll be having a conversation with somebody and they're going to be like, oh, something's different about you. I'm hearing wisdom in your speech. I'm catching that you got some discernment now. It's like when you go to the gym, Walker, you're there every day, and they got mirrors everywhere. My wife thought that was the funniest thing in the world, such vanity, she said. Mirrors everywhere. But there's more to it than that. If you really understand exercise and working out, there's muscle memory. You're focusing, you're concentrating. Now, there are some guys that are, or girls even, that just, you know, there's some vanity and some pride that works there. But the concentration on the exercise means a lot. Focusing in on it. But what'll happen is you be working out for 6 months and it's like, I just don't see much gains. But you'll go to somebody else and be like, hey, have you been working out, Kerry? You look stronger. Nathan, your chest grew. You're getting bigger. What do you got going on? This right here, the gym. In other words, exercise and working out. Here in verse 15, so we talked about the slavery, the bondage. I got to get to a very specific point here today. Let's start with Adam. Did God give Adam his will? Did he tell him, this is my will for you? This will be the best thing for you. If you follow me, Daryl, you listen to me, it's going to be good. So I'm going to get into just a little bit about the will of God here, okay? Did Adam fall into a captivity? Did he fall into a bondage? Was that captivity in that flesh really seriously? I said it. That captivity, that bondage, was that his flesh? When he was put in a different body and separated from God? Walker, listening to another spirit, did it put him there? Do you know, is it Isaiah 14, Tim, or Ezekiel 28, when it talks about, I think it's Isaiah 14, Lucifer, and says, is this the man that did cause the earth to tremble? Shake kingdoms? But listen to me, this is good. You hear this. He said, is this the man? But is Lucifer, the anointed cherub, aren't they spirits? Do they have a different flesh than a son of God has? So in your flesh, is there another spirit that fights and wars against God, against the spirit that's leading you and guiding you into liberty, into freedom, into peace, love, joy, all of it? Yes, there is. It's this spirit of bondage. It's the spirit of man. It's where your battles come from. It's where your wars come from. We've already went through this. Jennifer Gowett, you need to listen to this recording. So it's, let's go to another son. Walker, you got Exodus 4:22? Because we said, and Luke said it also in his genealogy, that Adam was a son of God, correct? What about Israel? Read for me, Walker.
Exodus 4:22. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn.
Well, you can't get any better than that. Thus saith the Lord, Kerry. Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Should you read the next one, or where are you at?
And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refusest to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn.
You know why I had him do that? Because he speaks of Israel, like I said, corporately, all of us make up the sons of God. But he also does it singular. My son. Huh? So is the will of God for each and every one of you, for Tim Jr., for Hunter, but then there's a will of God for all the sons of God to come into a unity as the body of Christ? There is, and he just proved it with those scriptures right there. Now, let's think of some captivity or some bondage that sons of God have been in. I use Adam for an example, and I'm going to come back to that because I got to do a comparison for you. Here, he's saying, let my son go, because Israel was in captivity. Kerry, weren't they in Egypt under Pharaoh, a wicked ruler? Do you know that God prophesied this to happen in Genesis, the 15th chapter? Probably talk more about this and go into more of these scriptures on Wednesday at my house. So I think we're still doing it online, but make sure you're there for it, okay? God, in Genesis, the 15th chapter, and the word of the Lord came into Abraham in a vision, saying, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And it came to pass, God said that to Abraham. Go down farther in that chapter. He prophesied to Abraham that his seed, because that's what Abraham wanted. He said, I want a son. I want an heir. And God had already planned it. This was the will of God, that the sons of God would come through the genealogy of Abraham. Is that not true? So he had already put in Abraham's heart to pray the prayer, I need a seed to come after me, to an inheritor. They take my inheritance. In other words, I want a son of God, Walker. And God Oh, yeah. Absolutely, we're going to do this. And it ain't Eliezer. Your son's going to be named Isaac. And his son's going to be named Jacob. And Jacob, after wrestling with the angel of the Lord, is going to have his name changed to Israel. Here we are. We're back with the son. We got her? Pretty cool, isn't it? God prophesied in that chapter of Genesis 15, your son's going to be in captivity for 400 years. Did God have a purpose? Let me ask you this question. Was it the will of God that his son went into bondage? Oh. Hang on. Jeremiah, Daryl, didn't he prophesy after the 400 years? After they came out of Egypt? 70 years. Was that the will of God? Huh. Interesting. So sometimes God, in his will put you into a captivity. What was the instruction, you guys, to Israel in Babylonian captivity that Jeremiah prophesied, you're going to be there 70 years? Seek the peace of the land. You're going to be there a little while. Sometimes when that captivity's there, you just got to seek for some peace. Huh? Gens, I'll say it that way. I just need some peace. He said, going to be there a little while. But I'm going to bring you out. Did you hear that? This is the hope. I'm going to bring you out. I'm not going to leave you there. He said that to Israel in Egypt. He said it to Israel in Babylonian captivity. He's saying it to you and I right here, right now, today. Because I started with a New Testament, a new covenant, talking about the spirit of bondage. But I took it all the way back to Genesis and walking it through the sons. Was there a difference between what Adam as a son of God did and what God did with Abraham? In Israel, in a 400-year captivity and a 70-year captivity. Walker's saying, yes, there was a difference. What was the difference? With Adam, God said, don't do it. He went into captivity because of his will. When they went into 400 years of captivity in Egypt and 70 years of captivity in Babylon, God planned that. He had a purpose. You know what his plan was? You say 400 years, long time, not an eternity, not for God. Drop in the bucket. Your life is but a vapor. You know how quick a vapor is gone? That's how God looks at time. God planned, his will was, I'm going to bring you out of this captivity, and you're going to come out with great substance. Walker, they're in there to learn. The captivity you're in right now, the bondage of your mind. Why are you there? Did you put yourself there or did God put you there? That's the first thing you got to ask. If you put yourself there, then you need to repent. Adam went against the commandment. He was disobedient. And he put himself into captivity of the flesh. God still, even after he went after his own will, because he had a conversation with another spirit, he said, well, Eve did. Okay, that's fine. I say Adam and Eve are one. Genesis 4, and God called their name Adam. Another will came in. Now, wait a minute. You said 400 years was a long time. And you thought, man, 70 years is a pretty long time. How long was Adam? Because he chose another will in captivity. Well, just to Jesus was 4,000 years. And guess what? There are still sons of God that are in captivity right now. So it's still happening. Are you with me? Not so long anymore, huh? God said, I'm going to judge that nation. I'm going to judge that Pharaoh. I am going to, and by judging it, Tim, what's he doing? He's saying, I'm going to give you discernment on who brought you into this captivity so it never happens again. When he destroyed Pharaoh and 400 chariots in the Red Sea, he said, take a look. There's their dead bodies. You'll never see them again. That's a hope. That's awesome, isn't it? That's some good stuff right there. He said, you're going to come out with great substance. When they come out of the captivity God put them in, they learned, Walker. They grew. They got stronger. Heck, they got stronger and multiplied in the captivity, Daryl. Didn't they? And we said that spirit of bondage is also the spirit of slavery. Did not Pharaoh make them slaves? Didn't he increase the bondage by making it harder to make the bricks, and he sure did. Listen to me closely. In the will of God, when Pharaoh, which is a type of the devil, meant to make it harder, what happened to the sons of God? They grew. They multiplied. You know, they got so big, he got scared. He got worried. Now, do something with these guys. They're prospering. Did they not prosper in Babylonian captivity also? Come on. But what about Adam? He thought he'd go another way. See, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. What are we talking about? Let's make it simple. Tim, let's make it simple. We're talking about the will of God. We're talking about the advantages and how awesome it is to be in God's will, even in captivity, compared to being in captivity because of the flesh, where the spirit of bondage keeps you in a captivity. There is a huge difference. There's a big difference to what happened with Adam and what happened with Israel. Well, let's jump ahead. Let's jump ahead. Walker, give me 1 John 3rd chapter, 1st verse. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Catch that first of all. It's love that does this. It works the whole thing. See, love covereth a multitude of sins. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world hateth us. The world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And now what's he call you? Beloved. Now are we the sons of God. When do you plan on becoming the sons of God, folks? Tristan said, now. Are you with me? Do you believe and are walking in the fact that you're a son of God right now? Listen to what he says. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What a promise. Huh? Now are we the sons of God? We're going to see him. We're going to be like him when he appears. We don't always know what we're going to be, but now are we the sons of God. Go with me real quick in closing back to Romans 8. There's one thing I need to cover here. Now this is before what we read. Yeah. We're going to read verse 8. This is where Paul, just before, he's showing the difference between the carnal mind and spiritual mind. He says they're enmity against one another. In other words, they're opposing hatred. The carnal mind and spiritual mind are always in a battle. This is your battle. The flesh, the spirit. Everybody's together on this with me, right? Verse 8 says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Have you ever felt like you're just not pleasing God? Things aren't going well. What is wrong? I'm telling you right now, your flesh is talking to you, okay? Your flesh is leading you. That's what it is. And you say, if you're in that, well, at least I was right. I'm not pleasing God. Okay, I'll give you that much. Verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh. Now, he's talking to a people that are in a terrestrial body, a flesh, right? But he says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You see why I say the very first thing that has to happen to be a son of God is you have to receive the Spirit of Christ. And here today, Dathan, Jim, you have to believe with everything you have in you that you have the Spirit of Christ. And then the next step is I don't have to live in the flesh because I have the Spirit of Christ. That Spirit of Christ is going to lead me. Walker, I'm going to walk in that Spirit of Christ because God said it, not because I'm lusting after it. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Did you see that? The body's dead because of sin. No wonder we battle, Carrie. No wonder there's problems. When we go back to the mindset of flesh, sin is present. But what about in Christ? There's no sin. There's a thing called the grace of God. There's a thing called hope and mercy and love and God himself. So how many are with me here today? I have the Spirit of Christ. I am a son of God. I will allow God's Spirit to lead me and allow him to take me into the Spirit and walk in that Spirit and be an overcomer of that flesh. And I'll begin to discern and learn and walk as God called me to be. Amen? Amen? Amen. God bless you here today. If there's any questions or anything, Tristan needs that microphone.
Yeah, this is definitely a question. I was sitting here for a long time thinking about how am I going to formulate this question. And so I thought I'd put it in a situation. But first of all, the Goliath and the Philistines wanted to take Israel and put them in bondage.
Right.
And that was not God's plan, but God prepared David.
Yep.
With the dreams and everything to overcome him.
Yep.
And so my question is, the best that I can formulate it, is in your world, David's defeated Goliath.
Absolutely.
And so some of us are still struggling with defeating Goliath, but David is there, put there by God to help us through that.
You say in my world, that's true, because that's God's world.
Yeah.
That's the world we walk in. How many of you were on the study? Tristan said it Thursday night when Tim spoke. He talked about this, didn't he? And Tristan mentioned twice, as Tim mentioned the teaching, he had a dream. True. What did that dream give him? The word of the Lord. Right, Tim? He had the word of the Lord. He said, the battle is the Lord's. I got the word of the Lord. I've already experienced this. I've already killed the bear. I've already killed the lion. Took them by their beard. I got the word of the Lord on this. That's what we have, and that's what you received here today as sons of God. Merle?
Will that opposing spirit always be there?
Only as long as you're in the flesh.
If you're in the spirit, there is no opposing spirit against that?
I just read it right now. You're right, Merle. Howbeit, you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if you have the spirit of Christ. So what I'm saying to you is, if you are walking in the spirit, if you have the spirit of Christ, there's no flesh as pertaining to that carnal mind. See, we'll get into some more teaching of this. Tim, what's the scripture there in Galatians 2nd chapter at the end? How do you walk in the, how do you live in the flesh and walk in the spirit? By faith? Because God loved me and gave himself for me? You know what scripture I'm talking about. We'll talk about that. Maybe we'll even open up with that next week. But you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be, the spirit of God's in you. See, we're talking about spirit. We're talking about mindset, ways of thinking, spirit realm. And, you know, it's funny because you got to battle things in your mind. When we say flesh, you're instant. This right here. This is flesh. But after today's lesson, and many of you already knew this, we're talking about something beyond just this flesh. So, Merle, does that make sense for you and answer your question?
Yes.
Good. Good. Anybody else? Okay, God bless you. I appreciate you. Remember Bible studies. Remember one ye another in your prayers. And go in peace. Be blessed. Amen.